thank you for joining us for hour number two of our podcast. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker, and also the producer as well. And we are continuing on with a great show that we've been doing. We're going to be shifting our focus a little bit. Somebody in studio with us is somebody who has been covering the technology scene in Michigan for a long time, Mr. Mike Brennan. We're going to talk to him about MI Tech News and some big changes that are coming there, along with some of the headlines of things going on this week. Once again, I want to thank the people behind the glass, as we say, who make our program work, Mr. Rick Lozinski. Thank you so much for doing so much for the program here. And this is hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Thanks for joining us here on our podcast. Michigan State University had a big game in the afternoon following they were facing off against Northwestern. And when that happens, we are preempted from live broadcast on WJR. But we have our affiliates who we are delighted to be able to serve through these programs. And welcome to you folks who are listening to us on our second hour through our affiliate system. And we have Mr. Gary Baker in studio. Gary, good to have you here.
Great to be here for the second hour.
Yep, Cal Carson as well.
You know, we should start doing our broadcast from the game.
Ooh, that would be nice.
And then after the game, we can go to a dairy down the street from MSU where they had that really high butterfat ice cream.
I know. We have a whole bunch of our grandchildren at Michigan State University right now. And so you can believe that part of the pilgrimage is stopping by there. Now, a man who's not a Michigan State fan normally, as a matter of fact, he is there alone, Gary Baker, rooting for the maize and blue. Mr. Mike Brennan is in studio as well. Mike, good to have you here.
Go blue.
Well, we're both, go
same
green,
year,
go
in
white.
Fact, yes.
Yeah, this week.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because
that's right, yep. Coming up. That's
You're just up. Saying that because you like your dinner warm, don't you?
Yes, good point. Both my wife graduated from there, and my son attends there now.
So. Oh, yeah. All right.
He knows which side his bread's
Mike, by the way, is the editor of the MI Tech News broadcast that we put on, that we share with you, by the way. I should say the news and information he supplies every week through mitechnews.com. And normally, near the end of the first hour of our show, we have him bring a few of the highlights, and we didn't do that because we were talking about some things that had to do with cybersecurity right up to the end of the program. But Mike, let's do this. Let's talk about some of the headlines that you are featuring at mitechnews.com. Just kind of quickly to let people, give them a little hors d'oeuvre for the topics that you cover there. This one I found interesting. Sprint is going to be offering 1 million students free mobile devices?
Yeah, disadvantaged high school students in the United States will get access to a free mobile device and, of course, the high-speed connection. This is through President Obama's Connected and My Brother's Keeper project. Mm. It's targeting kids that wouldn't otherwise be able to afford a phone,
sure,
and kind of are being left out, the digital divide and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be starting in 2017. I don't know exactly how the selection process is going to go.
Yeah.
I would assume in our area, since we have a lot of disadvantaged kids, that some of those would be eligible.
Right.
But as soon as I get those details, I'll share those with
everybody. Thank you very much. Very big for parents of kids in those areas. Automation Alley, and matter of fact, Gary, we're going to talk up a little bit about, you were there
for the big gala last night.
For the big gala
and
last
I can
night.
Although it's now public knowledge for anybody that was there, I can tip other people off as to who won.
All right, we'll do that. But Mike, let's talk a little bit about that whole thing, that Automation Alley very proudly recognized some excellent people who were entrepreneurs.
Yeah, Vectorform. I know, Gary, we were talking about that on the drive-in.
My neighbors in downtown Royal Oak.
You've had them on the show before. We're named
going to have them.
We're going to have
them on next week. Okay.
Next week.
Well,
we
were named the Tech Company of the Year. And tell you the truth, I didn't know that much about them, so I had to do a lookup on them to see. And Gary was explaining to me all the innovative stuff that they do.
Yep. And they partnered with DTE.
Partnered with some heavyweights.
And some others.
Yeah, some very big company. So I was amazed. I have to get them on my show as well.
Yes. Lots of other things that came up. Well, and Gary, we'll talk about some of the other winners. One maybe final headline was Red Level. Have I got that name right?
Yeah, Red Level Networks.
Is hosting a webinar to explain how schools and libraries can tap into $5.2 billion from E-Rate Digital Upgrade Program in 2017.
Yeah, the E-Rate Program is part of the Universal Service Fund that's done through the Federal Communications Commission. And there's $5.2 billion in digital upgrades for available next year. Mm. And some of this shows in these studies that 3 out of 5 schools in America lack the technology infrastructure needed to even deploy 21st century tools.
Yeah.
So what this will be is you apply for this program and for not only schools but also libraries. And this is really easy to find out more because Red Level is having webinars, which you just go online, mm-hmm. you watch it. You don't have to drive to Novi to sit in a session. And they're having 2 of them on October 20th and again on October 27th. And I would encourage any school administrators out there or library administrators to at least check it out. Because you may qualify for some of these funds, and $5.2 billion is a lot of money.
That's a big pie to get a slice of. And those are the kind of things, folks, that you'll find as headlines of articles that Mike puts out in MI Tech News. It could be a national piece of information like that last one there. It could be something that's in the state of Michigan. It's about technology and entrepreneurship. And, Mike, how do people get hold of this? Your headlines every week, and how much are going to cost them?
Well, it's simple, www.mitechnews.com. It's free, and it's 24/7, by the way, although we do have the two newsletters that go out, one on Wednesday, which also features the podcast from this show, as well as a number of other podcasts. Mm-hmm. Including our own. And then on Friday, we have the story newsletter that goes out, typically 20 or so stories. Good, you know, weekend read. You can, a lot of people do that. I track my traffic to see when they're reading, and a lot of them read them on Monday. So, like, you know, so whenever, that's always available. And we also have the internet show that we do with Matt Rausch every Monday.
Mm-hmm. M Square Techcast.
And we'll be at the International Cyber Summit on Monday doing live.
Right.
And of course, the video is now. We're starting that.
And we'll talk more about that as we go on in this hour, because that's a whole new field that you're going to be opening up. A very exciting kind of way of sharing information about businesses, and we'll have more about that. You can also go to internetadvisor.net, and as you scroll down the page, you'll see Mike's smiling face and links to, for instance, these three headlines. And then you can simply click there, subscribe now button on there. Once you click on that, it'll take you to a form where you can put your email address in and send it off to us, I should say, to MI Tech News, and you'll get that delivered to you on Wednesdays and on Fridays, and you'll be in the know. And for instance, like this, the Red Level webinars, that's a very important piece of information for schools and for libraries, something important for you out there to know. There's also information for entrepreneurs about things that are going on. And for instance, like the Automation Alley Gala that happened, and Gary's going to tell us a little bit more about that, as a matter of fact, when we come up in a little bit. So this hour, we're going to be talking about that. Big going on this weekend, as a matter of fact. Cal told us earlier on that there's a boat dock down at the Rensen, the USS Detroit, making itself familiar to the citizens of the city of Detroit. We'll be covering that information and more as we continue on the second hour. Thanks for being here for our hour number 2 of our podcast. And by the way, when we're in our podcast mode, we don't do the answering of our listeners' questions as often as we do when we are live on our flagship station, WJR. And that's because we don't have access, obviously, to the live calls. And although during the week, by the way, if you have a question, you still can ask that through our homepage, internetadvisor.net. If you'll notice on the show notes, matter of fact, people were complaining that they couldn't get hold of us, Gary, so I decided to put a contact form at the beginning of the notes and at the end of the notes, along with a comment form. So there's three places.
And that'll work. So so they should be able to get a hold of us.
Any place you go there on those contact forms, you simply put in your email address, and then in the box there, put whatever it is that you're having a challenge with. Somebody this week was asking... Go ahead, Cal. You had something?
No. When you were finished, I was going to say, when you do put in that information in that email address, don't be bashful. put in as much information
yes.
as possible.
Yes.
We've got plenty of room on our server for all the space you want. So make sure you put, you know, if it's a question about hardware, put in the name of the hardware, the manufacturer, the model number, everything you can possibly tell us about that particular piece of hardware, and then describe the problem that you're having. The more information we have, the more effective we can be yep. in delivering an
Very
answer
good.
Back to you that may solve your problem.
Very good point. You know, normally with email, you try to be as, you know, kind of succinct as you possibly can. But in this case, we don't want you to be succinct. You know,
no,
just really
no.
spill the beans.
Pick out a ladle and just put that gravy all over it, man. We want it. Bring it on hot and heavy.
Gary and Mike Brennan, of course, in studio with us. Let's talk a little bit about Automation Alley.
Yep.
First of all, would you tell Mike, why don't you tell us what Automation Alley is? And then, Gary, you can talk about the gala that you were at this last Friday.
Sounds good.
Started in the late, I think, 98 or 99. Brooks Patterson had an idea. He took yep. it to Ken Rogers, his number two man, and Ken ran with the ball. And they set up, it all started with the fact that they were having a hard time recruiting tech talent to Southeast Michigan. It just wasn't looked upon.
It sounds remarkable now
yeah.
to think that.
the technology folks were looking at Detroit as the Rust Belt. And so that's what it was started out as, is a tech recruiting tool. It's since morphed into a much bigger thing where it's marketing, it's trade shows, it's going overseas with these different programs that they have.
That's right. They're going to Central America here shortly. So.
Yeah, it's just all Trade sorts mission. Of stuff now. And it's morphed into about 1,000 companies. They joined by the company, but not by the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always asked them that question, how many people are in those 1,000 companies? And they've never been able to answer that question. But mm-hmm. some of them are GM and Ford and Chrysler, mm-hmm. FCA now. And mm-hmm. Just right there, I mean, how many people is that, right?
Right.
So it's a big organization. And last night they had their 16th annual or whatever
yep.
it is.
Big gala, and
yeah.
they give out
yeah.
awards, and there were about 400 people there, and it was actually done very, very well. It was cute. It was in the Detroit Yacht Club, so you have to go on the Belle Isle, and then actually the Detroit Yacht Club sits on another little island
That's
off,
right. yes.
off of Belle
yeah,
Isle.
Yeah, you go across
so
a bridge to get to it.
Yeah,
that's kind of neat.
So you're in the state park then, right?
So go through the state park, there were little signs that says, keep going to the event, here's the big gala, keep going, you're on the right track. And it was funny because if you know Belle Isle, you have to go over the little river and then through the woods, and there was a sign that says, over the river, and then the next one says, and through the woods.
And was Grandma's house there, too?
They,
or?
Grandmother's there was just house arrows from then on, but they got us there.
Is this a tie and tails affair?
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of people in tuxedos. I did not wear one. I wore a nice business suit and white shirt. But
usually it's a polo shirt and shorts. But
yeah. Yes, for the club. Yeah, definitely for the club there, yeah.
But the yacht club does a great job of this kind of an event because you could be out on the porch overlooking all the boats.
It's a neat place. Really good.
Yeah.
It's historic.
Historic.
And a lot of
years.
Very cool technology companies. Vectorform, who we mentioned earlier, won the Technology Company of the Year. We're actually had met them before and had tried to get them on about 2-3 months ago. I met up with Jason last night before the event, and I said, you know, we'd like you to come on next weekend, and they're trying to make that happen. So they may be on with us next weekend. And he said, don't you want to wait to see if we won? And I said, I want you on anyway, but good luck.
Oh, he didn't get they sent me the release on Thursday and told me, don't publish this.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Does Vectorform make anything that our listeners would be able to identify easily, like a toaster circuitry or what?
They have all sorts of very, very cool things.
Gary was still glowing after he came back from his visit.
Yeah, I visited over there. They have a basketball that's, you know, connected to the internet.
Really?
They have all sorts of things, but they're very heavily into AR, augmented reality, and VR, virtual reality.
Which is Pokemon, the new Pokemon
right.
game, which Cal referred to earlier as augmented reality.
And they have little scooters. It's just a fun place to be.
And you mentioned Detroit. Was it Detroit?
So Detroit... Edison, DTE,
right.
Well, it's DTE now.
DTE, right.
Yeah.
If you have the right kind of meter,
mm-hmm.
you can go download the DTE Insight app. I've done that because it just happened. I got lucky and I have the right kind of meter. And I can tell if I shut off something, I can tell because the app will say, oh, well, here's what your electricity goes down to. So if I... watch it when the air conditioner kicked on this summer. You know, it went way up, and I went, I don't know if I want to see that. I'm using watts. But they created that in partnership with DTE, and it's called DTE Insight.
Well, just as a segue to the side there, now, when you got that application, it runs on your phone, right?
Right.
And did you have to get that energy bridge that went with it as well?
Yeah, so what I did was, and so here's the kind of the dirty little problem or dirty little secret. I have my meter on one end of the house, and I have my internet router on the other end of the house. And you have to be within 20 feet of the meter in order to connect it initially. And then later, you can be anywhere, right? But initially, you have to connect it because it has to connect the app to that meter, right? Mm-hmm. So, ingeniously, I just ran a big Ethernet cord, took my router, put it out near the garage, which is where the meter is, and connected it all, and then I put it back where it was, and everything's fine.
Once it identified it.
It is very cool. I don't check it all the time now, only because I'm disappointed when I see it go way up, you know. But I like it when it goes down, and that's really the neat thing, is you can start to manage your energy because of
that. But that's the kind of thing. I would call Vectorform almost like a think tank.
They are.
They're always dreaming, and that's the kind of the cool thing that Gary came back and said.
What with big companies?
And they're huge companies they're working with.
Because when you go to their website, I read the About Us, and even after reading the About Us, I still wasn't sure what it was they made. So
yeah, so there, and it's what kind of, if you can dream it, they'll tackle it.
That's exactly it.
Right?
And the fun part of it is, it's built to encourage that kind of dreaming.
And they've spun off now 3 companies, I think.
Huh.
Maybe,
oh, really?
Maybe 4. It was 3 companies in the spring.
Wow.
Because they've develop something that works. You know, not everything they develop works.
Right, exactly.
Nothing always works, right?
It's like with Google, you know, not everything works.
And Google's spectacular in the amount of things that they kill.
Mm-hmm.
But because they develop so many new ideas, there's a lot of them that stick as
well. And, of course, GM still has that carburetor in the closet that gets 100 miles to the gallon, right?
On water.
So, on water, yeah. So,
that's what I tripped over the other day.
That's it. Mike, I noticed that the other things that they had there, they were giving awards for Advanced Manufacturer of the Year, went to Fori Automation.
That's right.
Excellence in International Business went to Hosco Fittings.
Hosco Fittings, yep.
And then, let's see, Startup of the Year was Quip. Oh, boy, I know.
Quips. It's Quips OR.
Quips OR. What is that? What was that?
I knew you'd ask me.
Uh-oh. Mike, did you look that up?
I'm looking at it right now. You know, I didn't actually. I just got this press release up myself, and I'd never heard of that company before.
Yeah, and I hadn't either before last night, and I was actually sitting in the back, so I missed some of what they were talking about.
Well, we're going to look this up, folks, and in just a minute when we come back, we'll tell you a little bit more about those organizations.
And the Outstanding Education Initiative Award went to the Michigan Apprenticeship Program.
Plus. We'll talk more about some of those other winners from last night at Automation Alley. And Mike, when we come back, we're going to talk about a special program you're developing with video as well. Cal Carson at Studio 2. Thank you once again for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. Hour number 2, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Cal Carson, and Mr. Mike Brand. Mike, it's been a delight having you in studio. We normally don't get to see your smiling face.
Yeah, thank you, Foster. I unfortunately have season's tickets for this other team, and they had a lot of home games in a row there. So,
but from what's been happening to MSU, our beloved green and white folks, I don't know, rooting for the other team might be better. Anyway, here we are. And for those of you who have been able to tune into the podcast, nice to have you along. And for our affiliates who have both hours of our program, delighted that you could be with us for hour number 2. And Mike normally is with us near the end of our first hour. We give you a chance to talk about some of the headlines that appeared on MI Tech News. But Mike, you are also taking a step, as you always do. You've been how long have you been involved in covering technology in the state of Michigan?
Now, remember, I know. So
1995.
I was just going to say you can't
fool him.
But I've been covering technology since 1981 when I took a job at Electronic Buyers News in New York. So I was in the National Computer Trade Press covering components. So that was like boot camp. I got a thorough grounding of all the different kinds of components and things like that we wrote about. And then
from New York, you went to the other
Silicon
side.
Silicon Valley. Yep. Across the country, I was the lead technology writer at the San Jose Business Journal. Kept me rather busy because you couldn't keep up with it all. It was just crazy.
What years was that?
That would have been like 83 through 86.
Yeah, the beginning. Right was the beginning of
Then I went to Memphis Commercial Appeal. Got recruited to a big regional daily. You know how the newspaper world is. Mm. You keep moving to bigger papers to make more dough.
Mm-hmm. Until the internet happened.
Yes, which pretty much, I had a career path at one point, but bailed out of the Free Press in 1999 and started MI Tech News in the year 2000. So I'm one of the internet news pioneers.
Right, yeah. It's funny you mentioned this, the procedure of following your career path to what looks like the top of the mountain, only to find out it flattened out there and it was just a plateau. I had the same thing happen here at WJR.
And then the next mountain's a little bigger.
I know. At WJR, I arrived here just in time for the internet to arrive and to challenge the whole notion of the massive AM stations, which WJR still is and covers. Gary, you have the statistics down. Is it five states and...
Yeah, it's parts of five states up in Canada.
And Canadian provinces.
Cousins, yes.
And at night, we went as far.
38 states.
Yeah, we go into over into Europe.
I've heard JR in Florida at night.
Exactly. Yeah, so. And that's why I started out in 1996 doing overnights here at WJR. And I would start a conversation in Massachusetts, go down to Nashville, Tennessee, out to Nebraska, and finish up in Manitoba. Yeah. Yep. It was fascinating.
You know, when I was down in Dallas for a number of months on a project down there, I could hear WJR at night. But when I got to Houston, it was just close enough to the Gulf that, and there was another, so, you know, the good part about this is that there cannot be another station on 760 AM on that channel in the U.S.
In the U.S.
But there is one in Mexico.
That's right.
That would bleed across and would just interfere enough I couldn't hear either station.
Was it XRF, I think, or something like that?
Yeah, I couldn't hear either station.
Yeah, it's down. I forget one of the border states that it's in, cities it's in, but it's monster. And one of the complaints was they were over 50,000 watts.
Right. And their signal came across the Gulf there and interrupted. So I couldn't get it there, but I have gotten it in New Mexico.
Oh.
But farther in that.
Any case, that was before the internet. Now you can get it anywhere in the world.
Now you get it.
And that's exactly what happened. As of 1996, the internet interrupted that whole process, and I found myself in a plateau rather than a peak. Yeah. And as you, with newspapers, all of a sudden, at the top of the scheme, bam, you're in a place where now news is being disseminated everywhere.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, too, when we first went live online, when WJR did and started broadcasting online, we had somehow gotten to a number of listeners on the internet in this little town in the south of France.
Oh, that's right.
They're in the same town as this other person that sent us an email. And then this other person, how many people are in this town? Because it seemed like half of them were listening to us, if I remember,
in the south of France. But now, Mike, for you, your story is when you, roughly at the turn of the century, you moved ahead, really, of the crowd then into doing an internet-based news service at that point in time.
Well, and I kept telling the Free Press, this is coming, you got to listen. And they were wedded to their printing press, and they didn't. So what happened was a lot of people were coming to me and saying, why isn't the Free Press covering this? Why aren't they doing that? And then when I left, I used that as my focus group to start my publication.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now you're making another shift.
Yeah.
And this is another kind of paradigm shift, as I understand.
Yeah, for a guy who's an old print guy. I'm not a videographer by training, but boy, I'm learning rapidly. So we're moving into video news. I've been studying this for a long time. been looking at my own statistics. I mean, people just aren't reading that much anymore. Even audio, they're not listening that much anymore. Mm-hmm. But boy, I'll tell you, you give them video, and if it's short and kind of snappy, that's a whole new thing. So that's what we're going to be, that's what we are moving into. We've already done some experimental videos, put up a couple already. I have a big partner I can't quite announce yet, but within the next couple of weeks I will. And then we're going to go into this in a very big way and really shift the company towards video. Yeah. Now, we'll still do text, but it'll be more emphasis on video.
You already... Go ahead, Kel.
Isn't it amazing that everything goes full circle all the time? You remember a long time ago, you used to have something called television. And when you got news, they gave you news, weather, and sports.
That's right.
30 minutes. Done.
Yep, that's it.
It didn't,
at a certain time.
It didn't go all day long. Right. It was a specific time. Right. People wanted the news. They got it in spurts. Short little clips, they were done and gone.
And Huntley Brinkley or Mr. Cronkite, they were your prophets. You know, they sat outside the Temple of News and gave you the headlines.
And now we got Mike Brennan, who's going back to doing the same thing.
One to 2 minute videos, short, zing zing, get in, get out. You know, paid for it for a variety of ways. But that's what I have a social media company I work with. You've had him on the show, Miley Osterley and Smart Finds. And he's been telling me for months, you know, you got to read these reports because this is really the direction you got to go in. So as an old print guy, this was really hard to do.
This hurt.
Because I had never really much cared for TV people. But so now I'm a
TV person. You got to be pretty to be on TV.
Now, wait a minute. I did a segment
except for Gary
WJR for 2 years.
I love Gary's stuff.
On Channel 7. WXYZ.
For weekly 2 years.
Yeah, right.
And my mom and maybe one or two other people watched.
Well, you and Joanne Purton got along
That's right. That's
right.
I really like working with Joanne. Actually, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, and that was back when TVs ran on kerosene, right?
Something like that.
So this is now, you already offer some video resources through the biweekly feed and on mitechnews.com. Yep. If you subscribe to it, folks, by the way, you will already be getting some video that's coming on Wednesdays.
Yep, coming out. That's the day I'm going to package the video along with the audio. So that'll be, you know, that newsletter. Well, still, I threw some in Friday's newsletter just in case it's different audiences. I know what the databases are, but some people just don't read the Wednesday one because they know it's podcast. So I'm trying to get them to do that by looking at the video. And then keep them short. That's the thing is, like Cal said, is you can't do 5 minute videos. You're just going to lose them. But if you do a really snappy 90 seconds or so, which is what we're going to shoot for, in between 1 and 2 minutes.
It's funny because when I go to YouTube to look for something, I'll look at the time, the length of it.
Right.
And if it's a real long, unless it's something that I'm very much interested in following.
Yeah, then if it's something you're interested in, you'll look at it for a long period of time. But if it's something that you just are trying to grab that snippet of information and move on, you're looking at a shorter period of time.
Yep.
And it's really funny, you know, because just to segue back on Gary there, I remember actually watching him a couple of times. So you had three viewers.
So maybe I had three. Okay. Thank you.
Watching him a couple of times on TV. This was long before I even listened to the radio show.
And you realized that I had a face for radio back then.
He looked pretty dapper in his own, you know, in his own special way. But yeah, I do.
That's kind of a backhand compliment.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's all I can hope for from Cal. So I take it.
It's Gary. He has his own style. You know
there you go.
Saying?
There you go.
Thank you.
that's an interesting point you bring up, though, because what do you need nowadays to make? You don't have to be pretty anymore to be part of that information process necessarily.
Which brings up a point that I thought about this the other day. Everybody can broadcast now.
Yeah,
that's true.
You got YouTube. You got a phone. You got an internet connection, you got a show. And what I've noticed, though, is that you have to be special and stand out.
Yes.
Because anybody can do a show. Anybody can have my face or even Gary's and do a show.
Well, what I'm hoping that I bring to it is credibility because I'm a trained journalist. I've been doing this for almost 36 years. So that's kind of what I'm hoping is going to work for us.
You have to bring value. And as long as Mike is bringing some sort of value, which people are looking for, they're going to be very happy.
Yep. That is the key because there are so many different sources for information nowadays. We're going to wrap things up in just a minute. We're talking with Mike Brennan, Kel Carson, Gary Baker, myself, Foster Brown, and we'll wrap things up on this hour two of our Internet Advisor podcast. Coming up in just a moment. I want to thank once again Rich Luzinski, who's helped us to do our program today, put this podcast together. Thank you very much, Rich, for all the work you do out there.
He's amazing.
And
really, he really is. He has to, you know, he's by himself. He usually has two or three people.
I know.
Yeah, people, you know, incredible. If we had a webcam in here and they actually saw him working, they'd think it was an octopus in there because those arms are everywhere.
He's reaching, yep, you're right.
Well, Mike, that's kind of an interesting point. With your, now, you do podcasts every Monday from 3 to 4.
3 to 4.
You're live on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Yep.
Right?
And then, of course,
Matt Rausch, you and Matt.
Matt Rausch.
Do M Squared TechCast.
Yeah, M Squared, Matt and Mike. So then, of course, we're always available on in our archives on podcasts, just like this show is as well.
Right, exactly. And now I was curious, are you going to try to introduce a video into that as well?
I have another partner on another project, and we mentioned him earlier on. I don't probably think we should mention it on air yet.
Not yet.
But yeah, that's one of the things we're going to do is wire up the Podcast Detroit studios so you can actually see the people.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be very cool.
Be very, very interesting.
Bob and Dave and all the wacky folks they get. Right?
Okay, maybe not that show.
That was interesting because Mitch Albom, who was a wonderful broadcaster, I have a world of respect for him, matter of fact, his studio is next to where we are right now.
Well, we're recording it.
And if you look in there, there are the remnants there of the cameras that were, was it MSNBC, I think, was doing they broadcast his show every day. And he has a wonderful show, incredible guests, et cetera. He certainly is photogenic, et cetera. But it wasn't able to carry. And that's tough. It's tough to carry through because they used to say this with radio broadcasting and putting the jocks on billboards. You say, I'm not going to put you on a billboard because you can look like a bullfrog, but Mrs. Jones thinks you look like Romeo, and that's all that matters is the image she has in her head or he has in his head.
Oh, for many, many years. Take Alan Allman. He was on another station in this town. It did the romantic, soft music. No one ever saw him.
Nope. And because the point was, what's in your imagination is so much better.
Well,
so
radio has always been the theater of the mind.
That's exactly it. So there's a certain level of challenge in doing that, Mike, of putting a live, you know, especially a podcast, because that tends to be kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah, but the girls are going to be looking at Mike. Going,
certainly, yes.
I like that podcast.
The grandchildren are saying, I want him for my grandpa.
Yeah, actually. I know I'm old because I'm invisible to younger women now.
So. You're not a threat anymore.
No.
That's right. Not when we're no longer a threat. That's when we're old. So you're going to be doing that video, though, bringing the video element into your news gathering, and possibly even into the podcast as well. What other different things? You've been in all sorts of different communication media. What are some of the other experiences? Now, you had a full year of doing your M Squared TechCast as a podcast. Well, what other things have you learned through that experience that you hadn't experienced before as a journalist for a newspaper?
Well, I mean, the classic training. I have an MA master's degree from the University of Missouri School of Journalism, where we had all these live, we had our own TV station, our own newspaper, our own radio. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like going to Columbia or Medill or some of the others where it's all theory. We actually did practice. So you really learn stuff by doing stuff. Again, like the videographer stuff. I spent all summer talking to videographers about equipment, how to do this. You know, I said, look, I'm out of my depth here. You're going to help me. So I have several consultants. I give a shout-out to Roger Rail from the Ann Arbor Video Interest Group, who helped me a lot. And I've still got a long ways to go. So, but about 10 years ago, I had a statewide radio show that the MEDC was funding. I was in about 5 markets. And so that's when my first experience was. But even before that, this is like the second go-around for podcasting, 12, 13 years ago. It was really big, and I had that going for about 2 years, and it becomes like a fad. Everybody loved it, and it was like, okay, and then they stopped paying for it, and I can't do it. If I can't at least break even, I can't do it. And so then we went into radio and just all sorts of stuff. I mean, so...
But podcasting has had a resurrection, if you will.
It has, yeah. It's very big again. And I think what you're going to see now is the next step, which is video podcasting. Mm-hmm. I know Mitch Albom maybe didn't have much luck with it, but I think everything was
but
different.
That was early.
Yeah, that was early.
He was early to that game, yes, yes.
And so what we're doing with... I'm going to... sort of the approach in between. I'm doing straight news. I mean, it has to be, it's not PR, it has to actually be a news thing. You have a new president of the company.
Yep.
You have a new location, new product, new whatever, the definition of news. And then just short and sweet, boom, 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 get in there, 2-3 questions. This is the essence of it. So we'll see how it works.
My God, that changes the whole dimension of the show, because even our show that we're doing right now, if we were doing it with video, we'd be doing it entirely different.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, start off, number one, we wouldn't be sitting in the studio in our pajamas like we are right now.
Yeah. I'd dress up a little bit better.
Yeah. We'd have to dress differently.
No more T-shirts only.
Oh, yeah. We'd have to watch out.
Mike's Hawaiian shirt, however, fits very well.
Yeah. Making faces at each other, trying to get each other to laugh when they're trying to talk. Yeah. Okay.
You know, you'd have to do a bunch of things differently.
Or watching
too.
Ball games in the background.
Oh, yeah. Who's doing that? Come on. You're telling them now.
You know, the buffet that we have laid out here right now, the whole shooting match. But it changes the dimension of the show. And not only that, it changes how the show works, which means you have to get it to that point where now, because they see you, they're going to make judgments, not just based upon the content, but upon the people as well.
They're reading your facial expressions, right?
Well, that, and if they look and they see me, you know, as an old geezer sitting there.
A handsome man, I was thinking, you know.
Well, yeah, only on the weekends.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, now will the millennials be tuning into me? Will they be watching me? Will I have something? So not only do you have to change yourself, but you have to change what you're delivering to them to make sure that you pull them in and that sort of thing. So in some ways, it's really quite fun because it stretches you and makes you say, you know, something, what would a younger person
You know,
want?
On the other hand, Mike, I don't know about you, but because I haven't been involved in radio for 40 years now, and I started out in a trade school, a practical school, Specs Howard, and we started by doing. And one of the things about news was, what's your source? Mm-hmm. Can it be corroborated?
Yeah.
You know, and not just passing on hearsay kind of thing. And how do you deal with that as a newsman? You've been involved in gathering hard news. And boy, one of the things that's true, I was hearing another case this weekend, essentially where hearsay is being peddled on the national level in the campaign as hard facts.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes me cringe is when someone calls me a blogger, because that's a whole different breed of cat. And most of the time, this could be someone just has an axe to grind, who has a point of view. I mean, it goes back, actually, you know, the whole concept of fair and balanced news didn't really appear in this country until after World War II. Everything before that was a political publication
with a point of view. That's a good point.
It goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War. So through the last 50 or 60 years, we've tried to do the fair and balanced. But unfortunately now, as Cal was saying earlier, with the ease, anybody can be a broadcaster, and everybody is.
Anybody grab a mic?
Now, a tough question for you, Mike. What's going to make me want to see your podcast when I can get the same information right there on the internet on the same computer on a different screen?
Well, I mean, it's the guests. We have a really Foster edits my podcast, so so he hears all this stuff. And
excellent guest, by the way.
And it's really our guests. We have such really interesting guests. Matt and I really work hard. I mean, between the two of us, we're pretty well connected. We know a lot of people, a lot of players.
No kidding.
We get them on the show, and you get a chance to see who these players are. You can hear their voice, yeah, sure, but you get to see them.
It is a richer medium, right?
Yeah, right. And we haven't figured out how we're going to exactly do this yet. And we've got to alert people in advance we're going to do this. We can't just ambush them and say, guess what? You're on live video.
I wonder if that'll affect some of your guests in terms of their not wanting to be on.
I don't think so. I think it'll actually bring out more guests.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was going to go the other way.
You think so?
Because in addition to me being able to be on the internet where I can get millions of billions of people exposed to, in addition to them being able to hear what I have to say, if I'm an innovator and I've created a product, yep. I can hold it up to the camera and say,
that's the whole point.
Here's my little doozy.
Because it never works when we hold it up to the microphone. Never works. Never works.
So people will be clamoring, let me go to that studio so I can show people how I can make toast using a digital whatever.
Well, that's actually another element that I wasn't going to announce, but since we got a segue, we're also adding a component where we're going to invite people anywhere in the world that have a cool product to submit their 90-second video to us. I will review those. Nothing goes up that I haven't seen.
Sure.
And if we like it, we're going to promote it.
I love it.
We're going to be rolling that out probably in November.
Excellent. So, folks, those are all resources that, along with the news headlines you heard us talking about, are provided through mitechnews.com. Mike, this week you're going to be, you and Matt will be at the North American International
Cybersecurity Summit.
Yep. Monday, the 17th.
On Monday, and between 3 and 4, you're broadcasting live from there. If you go to podcastdetroit.com, you can check that out. Look for M Squared TechCast.
Yep. And Bob and Dave are going to be doing it earlier ahead of us.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks, Mike, for being with us. It's been a ball.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
It's been good. Cal, thanks for being here. Gary as well. Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure.
Again, Rich, thank you for your help behind the glass. And Ed Riddell, again, our sincerest sympathies to you and the loss of your mother, Jean, who was their funeral was today. And we just hope for comfort for the family as they remember her. We'll be back again, matter of fact, live this coming weekend, October 22nd on WJR.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.